Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Wednesday, December the 14th, 2016. We are going to be covering chapters 7, 8, and 9 of 2 Samuel. So we are in the middle of some action-packed narrative here, and Dawood is concerned in chapter 7 because there's no permanent house for Yahweh, and he's talking to Nathan the prophet. And pardon me there. Let's get right into verse 1 of chapter 7. I've still got this bronchial problem, so pardon me for a second. It gets rough every once in a while. Sorry, folks. Verse 1. It was when the king sat in his house, and Yahweh had given him rest, and given him rest is all one word, 5117, all around from all his hated enemies. Verse 2. Said the king to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of Elohim dwells within curtains," 3407. Verse 3. Said Nathan to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, because Yahweh is with you." Verse 4, and you can reference verse 4 in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 3. It was that night that the word of Yahweh came to Nathan, saying, "Go and say to my servant Dawood, thus says Yahweh, shall you build me a house to dwell in?" Pertinent question. Verse 6, "Because I have not dwelt in a house from the time I brought up the children of Israel from Mitzrayim to this day, but have walked in a tent," 168, "and a tabernacle," 4908. That's where the Holy of Holies, that was the tent within the tent. That was the Holy of Holies where the ark was kept. Verse 7, "In all where I have walked with all the children of Israel, spoke I a word with one of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why do you not build me a house of cedar?" He never said that. Never commanded them to build him a temple. Verse 8, verse 7, you can reference 1 Chronicles 17, verse 6. And verse 8, you can reference 1 Chronicles 17, verse 7. Verse 8, now therefore you shall say to my servant David, thus says Yahweh of hosts, I took you from the shepherd's camp, that's 5116, shepherd's camp, from following the sheep to be ruler over my people Israel. Verse 9, I was with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your hated enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great that are in the land. Verse 10, moreover, I will establish a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and be disturbed, 7264, no more. Nor shall the children of wickedness, 5766, afflict them any more as formerly, 7223. Okay, he was going to put them in Jerusalem, and eventually a temple would be built there. And his intention was to keep them there, and we were supposed to dwell there. And because of our wickedness, he removed us from that place. But his original intention was to give us a permanent dwelling place. Verse 11, from the time I commanded judges over my people Israel, Judges is 8:1-9:9, and have caused you to rest from all your hated enemies, Yahweh tells you that he will make you a house. And now a house here is household, the house of David, his lineage. Okay? Verse 11 speaks of the dynasty of the Davidic kings. Verse 12, when your days are fulfilled and you sleep, 7901, with your ancestors, that's one, sleep with your fathers. In other words, when you die and you're buried and you're with them, I will raise up, 6965, your descendant, 2233, your Zerah, your seed, after you. And he's speaking of Solomon, which shall come forth from your inward parts, 4578. And I shall establish, 3559, his sovereignty, 4467. And verse 12, you can reference Psalms 89, verses 3 and 4, and 132, verse 11, the book of John, chapter 7, verse 42, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 30. Verse 13, he, speaking of Solomon, shall build a house for my name, the holy name, and I will establish the throne of his sovereignty until everlasting. All right, now this is prophetic of the Messiah, 7:13, the son of David, that will reign forever, is Yeshua Messiah, not Solomon. You can reference Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33, and Acts chapter 2, 25 through 35. This is future prophecy in verse 13. Now we're going back to Solomon in verse 14. In verse 14, you can reference Psalm 89, verses 26 and 27, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, and Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, 5753, I will correct 3198 him with the rod. Wait a minute, folks. I'm losing my breath here. Oh, that's unpleasant. I'm sorry. If he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod, 7626, of men, and with the strokes of, and that's 5061, of the children of Adam. 5061 is a wound or a disease sent as a divine chastisement as a metaphor. Now, he's not talking about Yeshua there because he's not going to commit iniquity. He's talking about Shlomo. It bounces back and forth here. This is some tough study here. You have to really research this. And it goes back and forth. In one verse, he's talking about the Messiah. Another verse, he's talking about Shlomo. Verse 15. But my loving kindness, 2617, shall not depart, 5493, from him as I removed it, 5493, from upon Shaul, whom I removed from before you. He was with Shaul at the beginning, but Shaul turned out to be a knucklehead, and he pulled the Holy Spirit away from him, and eventually let him be killed in battle. Verse 16, you can reference Psalms 89, verses 36 and 37. Your house and your reign shall be established until everlasting before you. Your throne shall be established until everlasting. Now, again, that everlasting throne is the throne of Yeshua Messiah. It bounced back from Shlomo to the Messiah again. Verse 17. According to all these words and according to all this vision, 2384, so did Nathan speak to David. Verse 18. Came King David, and sat he before Yahweh, and said he, Who am I, O Lord Yahweh? That's Adonai Yahweh. And Adonai is used as a title. And that is proper here. And what is my house that you have brought me as far as here? And verse 18, you can reference 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 16. Verse 19, yet this is a small thing in your sight, O Lord Yahweh, but you have spoken also of your servant's house from afar. Is this the manner, 8452, of Adam, O Lord Yahweh? Verse 20, what can David say again more to you? You, Lord Yahweh, know your servant. And he very certainly did. Pardon me, folks. Oh, man. Verse 21, because of your word and according to your heart, you have done all these great things to make them known to your servant. Verse 22, therefore you are great, O Lord Yahweh, because none is like you. No Elohim except you, according to all we have heard with our ears. Now that is very true. Yahweh is one and his name is one. Oh, iced tea. Oh yes, I needed that. Verse 23, and you can reference verse 23 in Deuteronomy 4, verse 34. Pardon me. What one nation in the land is like your people, like Israel, whom Elohim went to redeem, 6299, for a people to himself, to make, 7760, that to place, put, to make, for himself a name, to do great things, 1420, and awesome, 3372, for your land, from before your people, whom you redeemed for yourself from Mitzrayim, the nations and their Elohim. That's small e Elohim. He took them away from all the pagan nations and their little false gods. Verse 24, you have made for yourself your people Israel, a people to you until everlasting. And you, Yahweh, have become their Elohim. Verse 25. And now, O Yahweh Elohim, the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it until everlasting and do as you have said. In other words, your will be done. That's what he's saying in that verse. Verse 26, let your name be magnified until everlasting, saying, Yahweh of hosts is Elohim over Israel. That's what we preach here at EFR. And let the house of your servant Dawud be established before you. Verse 27, because you, O Yahweh of hosts, Elohe Israel, that means God of Israel, have disclosed to the ear of your servant, saying, I will build you a house. And he's not talking about a physical building. He's talking of a line of descent. Therefore, your servant has found in his heart to pray, 6419, this prayer, 8605, to you. Verse 28. And now, O Lord Yahweh, you are Elohim, and your words are true, and you have spoken this goodness to your servant. And now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may be forever before you, because you, Lord Yahweh, have spoken it. And with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever. That is a very deep, meaningful prayer that Dawud just prayed. He is very aware of his humble beginnings. He was the youngest of the sons, and he was the keeper of the sheep. He wasn't important even in his own household. And now he has been raised up to the kingship, not only over Yehuda, his own tribe, but over all of the tribes. And this is a prayer of thanksgiving, very humble. He is very grateful that he has been placed in this position, and he really wants to do the best he can in the service of Yahweh. And that is a beautiful prayer. It really is. Now we're going to get into chapter 8. I need another hit of this iced tea here. And this is about Dawid's military efforts. Verse 1. After this, it came to pass that Dawid smote the Philistim and subdued them. 3665. And Dawid took away Metheg Ha'amah, 4965, from the hand of the Philistim. Verse 2, he smote Moab, the remnants of Moab that were still around. Not all of them had been killed. Measuring, 4058, them with a measuring line, 2256, laying them down on the ground with two lines for putting to death and a full line to keep alive. Now, the ones that were rebellious, he killed. And Moab became Dawid's servants and brought tribute, 4503. He put them into forced labor, basically. Verse 3, smote Dawid Hadaezer. 1909, the son of Rechab, 7340, king of Sobah, 6678, as he went to restore, 7725, his hand, 3027, and that's a figure of speech for his dominion at the river Paraph. 6578. That is known as the Euphrates River today. Verse 4. Captured, 3920, Dawid from him 1,700 horsemen. 6571. And 20,000 men of foot. Those are foot soldiers. And hamstrung, 6131, all the chariot horses, 7393, but left over, 3498, from them for 100 chariots. In other words, he wouldn't have all the chariot war chariots to regroup. He destroyed the chariots are useless without horses to pull them. And they hamstrung all the horses, cut their hamstrings, and they had to kill the horses because they couldn't walk. They destroyed the horses. All right, when Aram, 758 of Damascus, 1834, that's the Syrians of Damascus, came to help, 5826, Hadaezer, king of Sobah, slew Dawid of Aram, that means of the Syrians, 22,000 men. Verse 6, put Dawid garrisons, 5333, in Aram at Damascus. In other words, he put armed troops in Damascus. And Aram became servants to Dawid and brought tribute. And Yahweh saved Dawid everywhere he went. Overwhelming military victories. Absolutely overwhelming. Just whooped up on anybody that opposed him because Yahweh was with him. Verse 7. took away Dawid the shields, 7982, of gold that were on the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. That's Jerusalem. Speaking of troops, okay, they were the servants, the military troops, from 8 from Betak, 984, and from Berothai, 1268, cities of Hadadezer. King Dawid took away very much bronze, 5178. In other words, he just plundered their cities. He just whipped up on them for coming against him. Verse 9, when heard Toi, that's T-O-I-Y, 8583, king of Hamath, 2574, that Dawid had smitten all the army of Hadadezer, verse 10, sent Toi Joram, 3141, his son, to King Dawid, to ask peace of, that's 7992 and 7965 combined, to ask peace of him and to bless him for that he had fought against Hadadezer and smitten him, because the men of Hadadezer had been at war with Toi. He brought with him objects, 3677, of silver, objects of gold, and objects of bronze. And verses 9 and 10 here, you can reference 1 Chronicles chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. Verse 11, all of which dedicated 6942 King Dawid to Yahweh with the silver and gold he dedicated from all the nations which he subdued. He put it into the service of Yahweh to support the priests, to pay for repair for the tabernacle, and just in the treasury of Yahweh in case they needed money for something. I mean, they had a very ornate tent with a lot of holy items, and they needed to be maintained because they had carried it all over the wilderness all those years. Same setup they had up on top of the mountain. They didn't have a physical structure up there. They had the tent of meeting. Verse 12, from Aram and from Moab, and from the children of Ammon, from the Philistim, from Amalek, and from the spoil of Hadadezer, son of Rechab, king of Sobah. So he dedicated to Yahweh service, didn't keep anything for himself, all the plunder that he took from all those people. Okay, get the pipes a little clear here. It eases up after a while, after I talk for a while. I'm going to do another show after this one, and it'll be even better. But it's a little rough once in a while. Hey, it's wintertime, and it's rainy and cold outside and yucky. And it's old age. Such is life. At least I'm alive and kicking. Verse 13, and you can reference verse 13 in the title of Psalm 60. Dawid made a name when he returned from smiting Aram in the Valley of Salt, 18,000. He killed 18 in the Valley of Salt, and that's where the Sea of Salt is. That's known as the Dead Sea today, because it's high salt content. You can't sink in it. It's got such a high salt content that you are very buoyant. and it is drying up because there the Jordan River is what fed it and kept water in it, and they've taken so much water, diverting so much water, all the countries that the Jordan runs through, that it's just a trickle, and it's not enough to keep the water in the Dead Sea. So it's drying up. It's the level has dropped over the years drastically. There's great big chunks of salt all over the place, and it's not usable for anything because that salt is poisonous. So it's worthless. Verse 14, he put in Edom garrisons, and all Edom put he garrisons, and Edom became Dawid's servants, and Yahweh saved Dawid wherever he went. There you go. He subjugated Edom. Jacob, Israel subjugated Edom, and they hate us for it. Even today, they were under the yoke. Verse 15. Reign Dawid over all Israel, and Dawid did justice and righteousness to all his people. He was a righteous king. He was obeying Yahweh's laws, like our government is not. Okay? Verse 16, Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the army. And Jehoshaphat, 3092, the son of Ahilud, 286, was recorder, 2142. Literally, one who remembers. Now, there's a number of people in Scripture named Jehoshaphat. Not just one. And you have to go and you have to look at the father to find out which Jehoshaphat they're talking about. It'd be like the name John or Robert or William today. Well, there's a lot of people, or Steve. Okay, a lot of people named Stephen, William, Robert, you know. Yeah, but it goes back, who's your daddy? What line are you from? Just because you're called Jehoshaphat, so what? What's your lineage? And it's always the male lineage, not the female like the Jews do. It is a patriarchal society in Israel, not a matriarchal society. They are the mere opposite of what Yahweh has set up. They are impersonators and imposters. They are of the Edomites, which Dawid subdued. Verse 17, Zadok, the son of Ahitub, 285, and Ebyathar, 54, the son of Achimelech, were the priests. Okay, let's stop right here. In the King James Version, 54, Ebyathar, and 298, Achimelech are reversed. They have Achimelech, son of Ebiathar. That's wrong. Ebiathar is the son of Achimelech. See 1 Samuel 22, verse 20. And the word order is corrected here because I read it directly out of the Hebrew. And it matches up with 1 Samuel 22:20. The King James even has the names wrong. Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ebiathar, son of Achimelech, were the priests. And Seraiah, 8304, was the scribe, 5608. And scribe means one who writes. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Kerethi and the Pelethi. And the sons of Dawud were chieftains. 3, 5, 4, 8. Now, 3, 5, 4, 8 is Kohanim, and that's usually priests. But here the royal family is performing priestly functions because they are anointed of the anointed, and they are as a class of priests, not of the Aharonic line. They minister to the royal house. Okay, so that's an oddity. Dawud's sons were not ordained Aharonic Levitical priests. Okay, they were a class of priests of the royal house that did ministering. And they use the same word Kohanim there, but carries a different meaning in this passage. Now we come into chapter 9. Let me get a little iced tea here. Now remember, Dawud had sworn he would not strike down or harm any of the house of Shaul. And Ishbosheth were killed by two evil men that did the opposite of what Dawud wanted. He would not have killed Ishbosheth. He would have forgiven him. So here's the last son. Verse 1 of chapter 9. Said Dawud, "Is there yet any left of the house of Shaul, that I may do toward him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And verse 9:1, you can reference 1 Samuel 20, verses 15 through 17. "And of the house of Shaul, a servant whose name was Siba," that's T-S-I-Y-B-A, 6717, "when they called him to Dawud, said the king to him, 'Are you Siba?' And he replied, 'Your servant.'" Verse 3, said the king, "Is there not still a man of the house of Shaul that I may do the kindness of Elohim toward him?" And verse 3, you can reference 2 Samuel 4, verse 4. "Said Siba to the king, 'Jonathan still has a son, lame of feet.'" Verse 4. "Said the king to him, 'Where is he?' And Siba replied to the king, 'Behold, he is in the house of Machir, 4353, the son of Amiel, 5988, in Lodabar, 3810. Notice they're always referencing he's the son of, and they name the father. More constant evidence that it was a patriarchal society of Israel, the opposite of what the Jews do. Verse 5, "Sent King Dawud and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar." Verse 6, "Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shaul," more father, line the fathers, "had come to Dawud, he fell upon his face and prostrated himself. Said Dawud, 'Mephibosheth.' And he replied, 'Behold your servant.'" He was the son of his best friend and he loved him. Verse 7, "Said Dawud to him, 'Fear not, because I shall surely do to you the kindness for Jonathan's sake, and will restore you all the land of Shaul his father, and you shall eat at my table. That's the royal table. Continually. 8548. What an honor. I mean, that's huge back in those days. He made him part of the royal household, literally. Verse 8, he bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog, 3611, as I?" Verse 9, called the king to Ziba, servant of Shaul, and said to him, "I have given to your master's grandson all that had been Shaul's and to all his household." Verse 10, "You and your sons and your slaves shall work," 5647, "the soil," 127, "for him, and you shall bring in the crops that your master's grandson shall have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat bread at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 slaves. Verse 11, said Ziba to the king, "According to all my lord the king has commanded his servant, so shall your servant do." Said the king, "Mephibosheth shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." Wow. Just named him like he is going to be the same status as one of my own sons, because he was the son of Jonathan, his best, deepest friend. Verse 12, Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the household of Ziba served Mephibosheth. Verse 13, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, because he ate always at the king's table and was lame on both feet. In other words, when he was fleeing the slaughter back in the other books, he fell, his nurse was dragging him along, and he fell and he broke both his feet and they didn't heal right. Now in the word son, it can also mean grandson, depending on the context. So Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan and the grandson of Shaul. So in verse 10, I put grandson instead of son. Okay? He restored all the land to Mephibosheth. Ziba will come up a little later. Ziba was trying to finagle the land away from Mephibosheth. He was trying to be the landowner. We have seen here Dawood's initial righteousness. He was doing everything, and he had a mighty hand through Yahweh. Yahweh was winning all the battles for him and just subduing all these people that had been horrible toward Israel. They had been persecuting and plundering and murdering and subduing and just really being bad to us. Well, we're in a situation here today, brothers and sisters, that we've got a people that are doing the same thing to us. And they're lying and they're cheating and they're stealing everything we have. And they're killing Christians and engineering violence and crooked government and just, oh, it's just horrible. This is the seed of Cain, interbred with all the Canaanite tribes and the Edomites. And they had spread abroad all the way up into Russia, and they were a lot of them were known as Khazars, and they became modern Jewry, and all of Edom and the Canaanites and the Khazars, who were of Canaanite descent, all became one group of evil people, and they practiced Babylonian Talmudism. They do not practice the Torah of Moshe. Their Talmud goes directly against it. They put on a good front. They put out a lot of publicity and propaganda and have tried to steal our birthright as true Israel. They have made the claims that they are Yahweh's chosen people, but they won't use the name Yahweh. And they can't be because they deny Yeshua as Messiah. And Scripture says very clearly, by their fruits ye shall know them. Well, what kind of fruit are they producing? They claim to be descendants of King David, but they've changed the language, and they call him David, which it's not. It's David with a W. They've changed the language, they've changed the books, they own the publishing houses, they own the TV stations, they put out all these lies, and it's such a barrage, a never-ending, constant barrage of lies, that people that don't take the time to investigate think that they're telling the truth. They have been deceived. They are great deceivers. As their father, the devil, was a deceiver. He deceived Hawa, which is known as Eve, all the way back in the garden. I mean, they are his seed line. Because if you look at the seed line of Adam in Genesis, Cain, Q-A-Y-I-N, is not mentioned because he was not Adam's son. He had the mother was Kawa, but the father was the Nakash, the enchanter, which whispered spells to her and deceived her and lay with her and got her pregnant. She was pregnant when they were chased out of the garden. And then she had Cain, and then it says she conceived again and bore Hebel, Abel. Abel was Cain's half-brother, same mother, different father. Hebel, Abel, was okay, Hebel was Cain's half-brother, not a full brother. And he was killed because he offered a righteous sacrifice to Yahweh, and Cain did not. So Cain was cursed. Well, his seed line came all the way down to what we have in the Talmudic Jewry of today, and they are practicing the methods of their original father, the Nakash, the fallen angel, in the Garden of Eden. And when Yeshua Messiah said, you are of the father, your father the devil and your father's works you do. He was speaking of their original earthly father, the fallen angel in the garden. And the production of his son, Cain, led all the way down to modern Edom and Jewry today, so much so that the Cainy, his descendants, disappeared as a distinct people. And they mingled with the Canaanites and the Edomites and all of that, and that satanic seed line is what makes them so evil today. And Edom always hated Jacob Israel because he sold the birthright. He made a deal, a legitimate deal. And when he sold the birthright, he did not have the right to have that blessing. And Yahweh engineered through Jacob's mother for him to get the blessing. And he has hated us, his progeny has hated us ever since. This is an ongoing battle of the war that was in heaven, where the fallen angels were kicked out, and they are here, and they are trying to destroy the seed line of Adam, who was placed here by Yahweh to have dominion over this planet, to rule it. They cannot hurt Yahweh, but they try to hurt his children, the Adamic seed line. This is an ongoing battle. It's coming to a head right now. And we have to deal with this in an intelligent manner. It is a spiritual battle, first and foremost. So we must prepare ourselves and our family spiritually first. It is also going to be a physical battle. During the time of the tribulation, we are going to have to survive it. We must prepare for that as well. I am not a pacifist, okay? I'm not just saying, oh, just trust in Yahweh. Yeah, of course. We trust in Yahweh, and we obey him, and he will help us. But Yahweh has also said to us, you are my battle axe and my weapons of war, and we must physically fight this battle that is coming up in the time of the tribulation. And survive this. And if you're wondering what the ding-dong was, one of my neighbors rang my bell, and I had to mute the mic and say, not now, I'm recording. So, it's it's a comedy of errors here. I do the best I can under the situation I live in, folks. But Yahweh has blessed me. I'm in a comment on some current events here. We are watching the crumbling of the financial empire of our oppressors. We are watching the evil that they have been doing with all these little children and everything being exposed, and the news media going into full panic mode and trying to say that it is fake news. It is not. All these children, all these years, have mysteriously disappeared. All the milk carton kids. Some of them they found. Most of them they didn't. They just vanished off the face of the earth. That is not a coincidence. This is the work of satanic people that sacrifice these children. oh, that's too far-fetched. There is nothing too far-fetched. The problem lies in the fact that most people have been brainwashed into believing that there is no physical devil, or devils, plural. That is an error. It says right there in Genesis, your seed line will have enmity with her seed line. He's talking about physical progeny. And that is what we are dealing with as the enemy today, the descendants of the satanic seed line. They are doing according to their nature. Yeshua said, you are of your father the devil, and your father's works you do. That's what they're doing. They're continuing on in the battle here on earth of the war that started in heaven when they were kicked out. It's an ongoing battle. So, be prepared. Gird your loins, as they say. Strap up. Teach your children about the scriptures so they know what side they're fighting on, what all this is about, all the horror they are going to have to face. And little children get traumatized by battle situations. They're not adults. They're not ready for that stuff. It's not a video game. It's reality, and people really die. You need to strengthen them now spiritually so they understand what this war is really about. It is a continuation of the war in heaven. Good versus evil. We are Israel. We are Yahweh's chosen people. We are on Yahweh's side, so to speak. When Yeshua Messiah comes after the tribulation, we will be transformed and we will fight full bore in this battle, along with his mighty messengers that he brings with him, with flaming fire. But we have to wait to go into full battle until our commander gets here. That would be the Messiah. We cannot go ahead on our own, because that is presumptiveness. We would presume to try to take this on as our own battle. Like the Israelites presumed to go up the mountain when Yahweh said, do not go up. I will not be with you, and I will give you into the enemy's hands. They went up anyway, and they got slaughtered. And if we presume to do this on our own, same thing will happen. We must be obedient and patient and wait on Yahweh. So I'm out of time here, and I will say Shalom Aleichem, and I will catch you tomorrow on Thursday with chapters 10, 11, and 12 of 2 Samuel. Shalom Aleichem, and may Yahweh bless you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ.